Welcome back to the Graham Stephan Show. My name is Graham, and welcome to my show. And today we're going to be speaking with two landlords who had an issue with their tenant who, I don't know if I could say this on YouTube, almost had an issue with a washer dryer that was properly installed that could have been a health hazard to the tenant that could end up in a lawsuit towards the landlord. So I don't want to say exactly what it is because I don't want to get demonetized here on YouTube. But anyway, that's the situation, and they want to know what they could do about that and how to prevent that from happening. So with that said, let's bring them on the show and see what's going on. So welcome to the Graham Stephan Show. What's going on?
So we had an issue with one of our properties. We had a kind of a liability issue. Basically, we had movers install a washer and dryer that we moved from a new property we bought. The washer and dryer ended up having an issue, both of them did. The tenant tried to do the laundry. There was a leak in the washer. She tried to fix it herself. There was some kind of spark, so there's an electrical issue. Our property manager called an electrician. Basically, long story short, he said we dodged a bullet. Something major could have happened, but he ended up fixing the issue, and we're all good now. But we're basically wondering, in this kind of situation, what would you do or what have you done in the past with properties?
Wait, so explain, what was the situation? I mean, what happened in this?
So the washer and dryer were improperly installed by our moving company. We did sign a waiver with them, and I looked it up later. Apparently, they're not liable, but they led us to believe that they could install things correctly, and it caused a shortage or something, and it was high voltage.
Yeah. Basically, there was current running through not only the water line, but the shell of the dryer itself, because it's made of metal, and it could have been very bad.
Okay. I have noticed, by the way, that a lot of times, almost any time I call out a contractor, almost every single time, I don't want to like put myself on the spot here, but they, and this is throughout like almost my entire real estate agent career. So it's not just me here. It's like even my clients own homes and the homes that like I've sold and represented, both buyers and sellers. Almost every time you get someone to the property, they're like, wow, good thing you just called me because this could have just like sparked up and like this thing could have happened. This is about to flood. It's a good thing I'm here right now. It seems like that's always the go-to. You know, I'm not saying it's not severe to try to downplay the issues that you were having, but it seems like almost always, it's like, wow, you know, it was about to flood. You know, had it gone on for another minute, it would have, you know. But anyway, so if you wanted to, for peace of mind, you could always hire a home inspector to go through and point out any issues that they might see in the property and then go and address those issues. Other than that, typically with stuff like this, I will address it if an issue comes up. Like I had it once, a water heater started leaking at the top and it was the pressure relief valve was just getting old. And that was one of those things, you know, sure, it could have been really bad. Like the pressure relief valve just goes bust and all of a sudden the whole water heater, I don't know what might happen with that. But anyway, stuff like that, it happens. You know, leaks happen in the roof. Things are improperly installed that go on for years without anyone noticing it until something happens, then you got to replace it. So you could hire an inspector to walk through, just point out a few things, and then fix them. But at least from my perspective, I usually address things as they come up.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually something we were considering. Maybe like before every new tenant, hire an inspector. Because it's kind of made us very aware of the importance of all kinds of insurance, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you would need to have an inspection, you know, it's professional inspector through every tenant. Like, I've never done that. I've never seen anybody do that. I think it's worth it to do a visual inspection and kind of walk through and see, like, you know, is everything running properly? But I don't think having an inspector go through every single tenant is going to be quite necessary. But again, but then again, if that makes you sleep at night, if that is your peace of mind and that, you know, everything's going okay, I'm not going to tell you not to do it. And I'm sure any inspector who's been to a property multiple times will probably give you a discount if they're going through like every other year, just kind of checking up on things.
Yeah. Okay.
But even inspectors, by the way, are not perfect. If you have three different inspectors go to the same property, they're all going to probably tell you different things.
Sure.
Yeah. And most of the inspectors too, at least the generic home inspectors, it's it's mostly, they're not going to really tell you what's wrong. They're going to be like, this is improperly installed, or this might be an issue, and then to hire a licensed professional, come out and take a look at it. That's almost what they say for everything. So they'll look at an outlet and be like, you know what, hire a professional on that. They'll look at the roof, hire a professional for that. And then it's up to you to, you know, hire all these like specific professionals. But, you know, I'm glad you're being cautious about it, but I wouldn't lose sleep over stuff like this.
Well, that makes me feel better, because I was starting to freak out, because I was thinking, well, what if she was electrocuted and went to the hospital? So that kind of spawns another question of mine. What do you do to handle like liability? We have umbrella insurance and landlord liability insurance, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I have, landlord's insurance policy and a giant umbrella policy just in case anything is to happen. But you know what? Again, like, you know, it's, I wouldn't concern yourself too much of these like what if scenarios. Like, I've even seen it before. It's like one of the properties I was buying, they recommended that like the for a little staircase, that it can't be more than like 3 inches apart between the railings. Otherwise, a child can get their head like caught in the railing. And that's like not to code anymore. Even though it was to code previously, it's not to code anymore. So there's a lot of these warnings that they'll give you. And, oh, another one that I've seen before is that like part of the sidewalk was broken because of root intrusion. And so as you're walking, the sidewalk kind of like, you know, juts out a little bit. And, you know, any person could kind of look down and see, like, you know, I'm going to watch my step. But technically, that could create a liability for you. Like, what if a tenant goes and trips on that and then breaks something, and then they go and sue you because it's, you know, because they didn't. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of scenarios like that that could always happen. Umbrella policy. Make sure you have something that's as high of a limit as you think is reasonable. And it's so cheap, too, that I think that is your best. At least from my perspective, that would be your best policy. It's just a really good insurance policy, really good umbrella insurance policy.
Okay.
Have you had a tenant ever get hurt?
I'm going to knock on wood here. No, I've never had a tenant get hurt. I have never seen a tenant get hurt at a property. In my entire career, I've never seen that happen. I actually don't even know of anyone personally who has had like an issue with that, where a tenant has like fallen on a property or a tenant has like done something. Again, I'm knocking on wood here, but I have not seen it myself personally in my entire career. I'm sure it exists. I have not seen that.
Yeah, that makes me feel better. So, I was thinking we were doing something wrong and it's our fault.
No, and nothing has happened. I mean, like I said, almost every contractor is going to come out there and be like, wow, I'm glad you called me. This is the perfect timing. This could have done all this sort of stuff. And, you know, it's true. And, you know, maybe it, you know, there's a small chance something could have happened from that. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's you go through almost any home, even a brand new construction that was done to the nines. You're going to find an inspector who comes in and be like, wow, this outlet is too close to the kitchen sink. See, to code, it's supposed to be 12 inches from the kitchen sink, and this one is 10 inches. That means someone could be washing the dishes and then reach their hand over and water could spark there, and then all of a sudden, the home can explode. And it's just like, you know, there's a lot of these things that they can, I don't want to say they're blowing it out of proportion, because, you know, there are codes for a reason, and it's to, you know, prevent issues from happening and to increase the safety of a property. But it's almost with anything. Almost any property is going to have some sort of issue with it, you know? Almost every – I've done inspections on homes for like $6, $7 million, brand new constructions, and they have issues. And there are issues with those homes.
Yeah. No, I definitely see what you're saying. For our current house, we had in our home inspection, they would there's a kind of a light fixture above our shower, and they were like, oh yeah, you definitely shouldn't be able to reach up and grab, you know, change a light bulb. We were like, that's not a big deal.
You can't even reach it.
No.
Yeah. You know, there's a whole bunch of things like that. There was one lately with a jacuzzi, and how the side panel, when you open it up, when you take the screws out of the side panel of the jacuzzi, where the electrical housing is within that, there's not like some sort of panel over top of that within the housing. And if the housing is open to begin with, like someone could reach their hand in there. And I'm thinking like, no one is going to be in the jacuzzi with the side panel screwed open, have their wet hand down there, and then reach in underneath to touch the electrical components. Right? It's like, but to code now, you can't do that. You can't do that no more because evidently there's someone who did that. But I don't know. Some of this stuff, I get it. I understand it, you know, but some of it too, I think is common sense. You don't reach your hand down in the electrical components when you're in the jacuzzi. There's no reason to do that with the housing completely unattached. But you have a good umbrella policy, and you do everything you can within code to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yep.
So don't be negligent. Don't overlook some of these things. But if something comes up, do your best to fix it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Was there anything else?
No. I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it might be worth it. Go and look at your umbrella insurance policy. I mean, if it costs you an extra like $50 a year or something to up it a little bit, you know what? For peace of mind, that's what I did. I got whatever the maximums I could just for peace of mind. That's all it is. Hopefully you're never going to have to use it, but it just makes you sleep at night.
We just did that.
Yeah,
actually.
I did that yesterday because I had anxiety. I was like, I'm going to call and increase it by another million and go to bed.
Yeah. And how much extra did that cost you for an extra million?
Only an extra $10 a month. Yeah, so we were doing ours through USC. Yeah, so it was easy.
Cool. Yeah, money well spent. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks,
awesome. Thank you for talking to us.
All right, you got it. Thanks. Bye. So with that said, you guys, thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it. As always, if you have not already destroyed the like button, make sure to destroy that. Subscribe, hit the notification bell. Also, feel free to add me on Instagram. I post it pretty much daily, so if you want to be a part of it there, feel free to add me there. And also, if you guys want those two free stocks from Webull, use the link down below in the description. Webull is going to be giving you two free stocks when you sign up on their platform, with one of those stocks potentially valued for $1,400. So if you want your two free stocks, only takes a few minutes to do it. Use the link down below in the description. Let me know which two free stocks you get. Thank you so much for watching, and until next time.